Thank you, Lord. This is Sunday morning, 7/18/21. This is Learning to Flow in the Supernatural, Church Order Part 13. The title is Laying a Good Foundation. Now, from here on, when we have new people come, this is going to be the one you can mark it newbie. This is going to be what I thought, well, they're not coming, the newbies are not coming this morning. So I thought, well, Lord, what am I supposed to do now? You knew they weren't going to be here. And he said, go ahead with it. And any newbie will be required to listen to this before they will even be allowed to come. And this is like a military academy. There's a few prestigious that are allowed in. And that's not to be exclusive, but it's the seriousness of what we do here. We're not a traditional church where you just breeze in, breeze out when you want to and do whatever you want to.
What's the title again?
Laying a Good Foundation.
Is this the church order, though?
Yeah, 13.
Laying a Good Foundation.
Yeah. Okay. All right. God is making an appeal to you today. You know, I was thinking about Jesus. Before he went to the cross, here he had his 12 disciples with him, or his 11 disciples with him. They'd been with him 3 years. And here he is in his most crucial hour. And they all just fell asleep. And he said, could you not even keep watch with me 1 hour? I find today that because of the way our church system has been infiltrated by the deep state, the cabal, the beast system, whatever you want to call it, the world has so infiltrated the church that we have not put God in the proper place, maybe. So I think anyone who listens to this, by what they hear, they'll know this is the place for me or it's not the place for me. Because honestly, don't waste my time. Don't waste God's time. This is how I look at it. I'm not about numbers, as you can see. Not about quantity, but quality. Most people gauge their success and failure on how many you're running. Man, how many devils have you kicked? You know, how many victories have you won? I'm more interested in that. Do you keep your word? Well, I got two warriors sitting here. One of them's been here 4 years, the other nearly seven. They hadn't missed a Sunday. They're serious. We are in God's military, and as far as I'm concerned, it's more important than the vast military of earth. Gideon's army, Judges chapter 7. Well, we'll just go there. Okay, Gideon. Let's look at Gideon. God's not into numbers either. He is into quality, not quantity. Are you sure? Mm-hmm. All right, Gideon's army. This is Judges chapter 7. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And they returned to the people 22,000, and they remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whosoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his place. So the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he set all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. So we know that Gideon won this battle without even using a weapon, a trumpet and a lamp. But God did it by his power. But what impressed him about these men, the fearful, he sent them home. The ones that were haphazard and just got up, stuck their head down in there, drank like a dog, didn't have any sense about them at all, no cautiousness at all, he sent them home. But the ones that were aware of their surroundings and everything that was going on, you know, they're the ones, the wise ones that God retained. And also those that would probably obey him, do what he said. It took 300 men to listen to what God said do. All right, let's keep going. Came to pass the same night, the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down into the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. All right, Gideon goes down in the camp, and here's what they say about Gideon, about the barley cake running in and destroying the whole camp. Well, that's Gideon. So Gideon got his faith built up. But right here, and it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, then he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. He divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in each man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. So these people follow directions. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord, and for Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands, and the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands, the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal, and they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Beth Shittah and Zerath, and to the border of Abel Meholah, unto Tabath. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali and out of Asher and out of all Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites and take before them the waters unto Beth Bara and Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters unto Beth Bara and Jordan. And they took two princes of the Midianites, Orb and Zeb, and they slew Orb upon the rock of Orb, and Zeb they slew at the winepress of Zeb, and pursued Midian and brought the heads of Orb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side of the Jordan. So they took that authority back. That's what cutting off a head means. You retain that authority. So they got back those who had oppressed them. Okay. God is making an appeal today. Whether you're veterans here or you are newbies, God is making an appeal to you today. He doesn't need people that just show up and just do their thing like they've done their duty to salve their guilt. This is not what this is about. This is not a traditional church. This is a place where we train warriors. This is a place that we train people the way God meant for them to be trained in the body of Christ. This is the way the whole church should be. But even God knew sometimes there's just a Gideon army. Okay, Luke 14. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace, and he took him and healed him and let him go. And answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. He that bade thee and him come and say to thee, Give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, and that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, nor thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. When one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall be eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then he said unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant a supper at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I've bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I bought 5 yokes of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things, and the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. For I say unto you, that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And there were great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, it is not able to finish it. All that behold it began to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It's neither fit for the land, yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus is talking to these people, these multitudes, and saying, you have to count the cost. This isn't a haphazard, show up when you want, do what you want type of thing. This is a commitment, a life commitment. I can't tell you how many times over the years, TV, whatever, it didn't matter how I feel. The show must go on. That's the way the commitment has to be. Like I said, those warriors of the Lord are the most important set of people today. That along with the intercessors, I would say. But sometimes you got to quit praying and you got to start saying. That's when you start taking your land. So it's kind of a twofold thing. Petition and then proclamation. But if you've not given time and you haven't count the cost, you won't do any of these things. And as far as I'm concerned, if you're not going to do any of these things, You don't qualify. Like I said, there are hundreds of churches, probably thousands in just in this area. If you want to go and play church, go play church. But we don't play church here. We are trained to be warriors. We make a commitment. Whether we feel like it or not, we keep on trucking. Because we don't walk by how we feel. We walk by faith. All right, let's keep going. This is what will happen. This is where we start our journey. This is where every newborn believer should start. Why it's not been taught that way, I don't know. This is Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Isn't that basically what Jesus was saying? You have to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me, is what he said. Well, if you follow Jesus, that means you're dead. Jesus went to the cross. They killed him. Your life is hid in Christ and God. If you be risen with Christ, see, you're dead. But your new, real life is hidden with Christ in God. And be not conformed to the world, to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As far as I'm concerned, you don't need to be doing anything else until you do this. Because how are you going to know what you're even supposed to do? You're not going to. You have to depend on somebody else to guess, well, we got a spot over here, we need somebody to do something. Isn't that the way usually it is? And you get stuck doing something you absolutely are not called to do and you hate. Satan has brainwashed us all. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, so they couldn't come to the knowledge of the truth. But I'm telling you what, he's also done it to the believers. Why? Because they've not done this. They have not renewed their mind. They haven't found out who they are. They haven't found out what God's called them to do. And they haven't got in the place to get on that journey so that they can fulfill their part. Right here. Why do we renew our mind? So we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you don't get unbrainwashed, and you are. I'm talking to the newbies here. You are brainwashed. Even if you go to churches, you are brainwashed. You have taken things into you through being in this world system, living in this world. You have been brainwashed, and the Word of God will get you in your right mind so you can see His will. Because see, Satan has blinded you from the truth, keeping you from being productive in the kingdom of God. He's tried to incorporate you into His kingdom and doing His bidding for the rest of your life. Living like He lives. Associating with people that live like He lives. But when we renew our mind with God's Word, we no longer walk that way. We walk by the dictates of the Spirit. What the Spirit says to us. Okay? All right. This is right. He is after your mind, and when he has it, he controls you. When he gets your mind, he gets you. Like someone we all love and know said, the Lord told her, renew the mind, renew the man. And that's exactly the truth. When your mind gets renewed, everything Satan tried to push on you, he can't do it anymore. Because you know the truth. His scam is up. It's over as far as you're concerned. All right. And whenever it happens to you, then we can go out and be a truther to others and get them out of it. Bring them the truth. All right. The answer to the propaganda machine is a renewing of the mind process. And quit watching the crap. Yeah. It's a process. All right. James chapter 4. It's not an instantaneous pray it off of me. Bless God, it is a process. I would say this, it's a journey. It's a journey. James 4, 7 and 8. As you give yourself to the Word of God, you begin to get free. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God. How would I do that? Submit to His Word. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. That's an unrenewed mind, a double-minded man. It's unstable. Okay. You cannot change yourself. Your part is to submit to God's Word. As you begin to do this, Satan begins to lose control over your mind. This is coming out of Egypt, or being loosed from strongholds. This is the commission of this ministry. It is not a church per se as we are used to. It is what the church is really supposed to be all along. Training for reigning. Think military. Once you go into the military, they own you. All right. I put here, you should ask the warriors sitting around you about their trek out of Egypt. They will admit to you that they are not even the same people they used to be when they began this trek out from under Satan's control. Their mindsets have completely changed. And so will yours. My commitment to you is to bring God's Word that will make you free from the slavery of Satan and the world system. This commitment will be to listen to God's Word, not just at services, but every day. This is necessary for a good foundation to be laid in your life so that you can have a successful spiritual walk that will carry you through all your days. It's why we give everybody a flash drive so they can put it in their car instead of listen to their achy breaky heart or your cheating heart or all this garbage. God knows what. You know, you build that stuff in your spirit and you wonder why you have heart trouble. You know what I'm saying? But see, the Word of God needs to be going and playing in our minds, especially in this time. Okay. I recently had someone say to me that we gave a flash drive to, that they listened to it when they drive to work and back. As they went about their business over a period of months, they said to me, I'm not even the same person. I don't even think the same way anymore. Exactly. Just what I love to hear. That means it's working. That means we're fulfilling the commission of this ministry that God gave. Ultimately, you will come to know God's defined will for you, not just the general will, but the defined will just for you. All the questions begin to flee away. When I was born, was it God's will for me? Wait a minute. Why was I born? Okay, why was I born? Was it God's? What is God's will for me? Many live and die and never know what God's will is for them. We are told in Scripture to review or renew our minds first, then we will come to know God's will for us. And you know, you are really a detriment to the body of Christ until you do, because you're going to be acting in opposition. You're going to be doing things you hate, and you get gripey, and you'll say it to others and get them gripey, and you cause division and strife. But when a person is where they're supposed to be and they're graced to do it, you couldn't knock them out of there. All right. All right. You will be your most peaceful in God's will. Why? Because when you're where you are supposed to be, you fit in God's body and you fulfill God's purpose in your life. Christ's body becomes the body it's supposed to be in the earth. It won't be easy, and Satan will fight you the whole way, but God will supply His grace that will help you in this transformation process. We see it started working this morning already before we even got one session in. Settle it today to go God's way, for He only has your best interest at heart. Can't say men or people do. Usually there's ulterior motives. We train warriors here. We are not the Toys R Us church. We're trained to occupy until Jesus comes. That means taking back everything that Satan has stolen from us for the last 6,000 years. Our credo is, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. If you don't think you can commit to God's plan, there are thousands of churches so-called out there that will give you a quick feel-good once a week to keep you going. This is not what we are about. It is your choice. But don't make the choice to be here and not commit. We have had many come and go over the years. They did not stick with it, and I sadly say that many of them have passed away. God is about life and that more abundantly, but it isn't automatic. We must embrace the ways of the kingdom, learn how to operate in it to receive the benefits of it. They came here so that they could learn how to live and not die, but for one reason or another, the devil fought them and they left. It's like the ones coming out of Egypt that refused to follow God. They eventually dropped dead in the wilderness. See, all the people that came, God sent them there so that they could live and not die. Because He knew down the line what issues they would come against in life and what they would need to overcome. God's about life. He's not about death. God does not kill people. Who's the one that kills? Satan. So because they didn't like a female or they didn't like the message or whatever the case may be, and then they suffered as a result, see, that's the tactics that Satan uses. This is not mission impossible. It is mission possible. You just learn to never give up and proceed forward. There will be those days ahead that you'll want to quit and give up, but just like Peter said when Jesus asked him, he would turn back to. Peter said, Lord, I don't have anywhere else to go. I don't have any place else to go. I've left it all behind. Well, this is the right attitude to have. There's nowhere else to go except Father's house. Yeah, I had somebody say something kind of derogatory about me giving my nice sofa to someone that supposedly doesn't know how to appreciate it. But I got to thinking about it. That's kind of something that we speak and confess over people or over children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, is when they come to Father's house, Father puts on the ring and He puts on the robe and He makes the feast. That's what happens when you come to Father's house. This person said, well, they don't deserve it. I'm thinking, who deserves it? There isn't a person here that deserves it. But I'm telling you this, the goodness of God leads people to repentance, not vinegar. Even though this is kind of a little tough message, but it's to qualify. It's to qualify you. Because I want you to be where you feel like you need to be. Because if you come and you can't make the commitment, you're not going to be happy. So you need to be where you're happy. Maybe sometime later down the road, if you grow some, you might qualify to come back and to be a warrior. One thing about it, the church as a whole has not taught to be warriors. That's the biggest thing that we need to be is warriors. That's what God laid down. He said, tend this place, occupy it. He knew there was going to be some enemies that he was going to have to fight off. All right. You will have to make a commitment to read your Bible whether you understand it or not. It makes your spirit man stronger whether your mind understands it or not. It feeds your spirit man, the real you, the hidden man of the heart that no one sees. Eventually you come to some mental understanding of it. It will be here to help you along the way. I'll be here to help you along the way. Always bear in mind that you did not get where you are overnight and you will not come out of it overnight either. You've been propagandized your whole life to be where you are in society and acting the way you are and doing the things you are. You've been pre-programmed by the beast system. So it's going to take a little time for you to come out of the beast system and into the kingdom of God and walking in His ways. You must give God's word equal time, one step at a time will get you to the desired result. Give yourself time and don't be too hard on yourself. God is not being hard on you. He is pleased that you have submitted to this process. And that's good for even the warriors that are here to know that. A foundation has to be laid in your life so that God can begin to build in you. He has something for you to do. Not just be here, but for you to do in His kingdom. What will He build? You might be thinking. The ministry He has called you to do, that's what He will be building in you. A house can be built. A foundation has to be laid. No foundation, no house. And I'm going to read Proverbs 24, and I'm going to read it out of the Amplified because I just like the way it words it. Unto you, O Lord, do I bring my life. I'm reading the wrong one. Just a minute. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it, the world and they who dwell in it. For He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the currents and the rivers. What am I doing here? I'm not even reading the right thing. I'm in Psalms. I'm sorry. Proverbs 24. All right, let me see. First one. Be not envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them. For their minds plot oppression and devise violence, and their lips talk of causing trouble and vexation. Through skillful and godly wisdom is a house, a life, a home, a family built, and by understanding it is established on a sound and good foundation. And by knowledge shall its chambers of every area be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong and is better than a strong man, and a man of knowledge increases and strengthens his power. I just like the way it says that. For by wise counsel can you wage your war, and in an abundance of counselors there is victory and safety. When the foundation is good, the house will be good. Sadly, just in the last few weeks, there have been some mega church pastors that have resigned their churches after many years. Why? They're being implicated in child and human trafficking. When a good foundation is laid, then the gates of hell will not prevail. Okay, we're going to read our scriptures that we've been reading every week concerning church order. All right, Matthew 7. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Kind of goes along with Proverbs, doesn't it? I just read. All right, let's go over to Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and some Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto them, See, we're talking about the house built on the rock. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven, or who is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my house, my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I'd be willing to say today, if these churches that have these pedophiles in them would not have been compromised had they had apostles and prophets in place, as the scripture says we should, there would have been some accountability. But Freemasonry has hijacked the pastoral system and put these pastors over all these groups. And these are these groups that are coming down today because of the sin that has infiltrated the church. It's a sad, sad thing. A lot of people are going to be hurt. But it is my hope that a lot of people will wake up because of this. All right, Ephesians 2. The mason started in the basement, but it made the whole system rotten. Rotten. All right. It started in the foundation, didn't it? All right. 2:19. Now, therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation, the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. See, we're to be a holy temple in the Lord when we have the right foundation, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. God can't dwell in that. God can't dwell in that churchy system. It has no foundation. It's a sad thing. It really is. And so many find themselves in that place today. Okay, Ephesians 4:7. Is that right? 4:7. Yeah. But unto every one of us given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into all in him all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to effectual working, the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So we see here that when it's done the proper way, there is unity. Because we're one body, we're not scattered like we are today. Like I said, we're just body parts with no connections, just out there flopping around. We need it all connected together. Yeah. All right. Then we have Psalms 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. So the anointing will be on the entire body when we get in order, divine order. All right. In the Strong's, the word foundation there in Ephesians 2 means something put down, a substruction, literally or figuratively. Everything is built on this foundation. All right, now with that, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. Know ye not that you're the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. Tell you what, there's going to be a whole lot burning up. Yeah. Whole lot burning up that God never did condone, God never was behind, God never did build, man did, wood, hay, stubble. All right, second, this is Colossians 2, 6 and 7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in him who's ahead of all principality and power. Okay, now turn over to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 4. For every house is builded by some man, but he that buildeth all things is God. He talked about Moses, verily was faithful in all his house, and as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. All right, 1 Peter 2:5. Let's just start with 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also are lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So we are a spiritual house. All right, we are not about numbers. Most think you are a success by how many people you have. We're not about quality or quantity, but about quality. Someone trained right can put to flight 1,000 and 2,000, 10,000, like Gideon's army. Most churches with large congregations couldn't blow the fuzz off a peanut. I'll take Gideon's army any day over the masses. They're clueless. The commission of this ministry and all those a part of it are as follows. Set my people free from the strongholds of their minds. And how do we do this? Manna. The people ask, what is it? That's what it means. Manna means, what is it? It's a mystery. We don't know how it works. Don't care how it works. The thing is, it does work. The first statement God said to me was, just like Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, I want you to set my people free from the strongholds of their minds. Okay, we'll look at a few more scriptures and we'll be done. Exodus 3:10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. All right, now turn to Exodus 16. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, and the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat the bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. See, they were used to socialism, used to the government taking care of them. God's system is not that. And the people should go out and gather. Okay, and then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. The people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, and that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in. It shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Now the first bunch of people that I had that I started bringing this type of message, they all revolted. They went back to Egypt. Every one of them. Oh, they would die in Egypt. Well, some of them have. Sad, but they have. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at even then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for he that heareth your murmurings against the Lord, and what are we that ye murmur against us? Moses says, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And when that happened to me, the Lord, you know, I thought I had done something wrong. And so for two days, I'd hardly got out of bed. I was so sorrowful and heartbroken over what had happened with the mutiny. And the Lord said, get up out of bed and quit acting like that. You didn't do anything wrong. Yeah. Wasn't that what they were doing? We're just obeying the Lord, you know, and they're attacking us. And Moses spake unto Aaron, saying to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. Did they die because they left us? No. God sent them. God sent them so that they would live and not die. God sent them so that they could hear a word that somewhere in the future. You know something about people that don't keep their word? They expect God to keep His. But I'm telling you today, if you don't keep your word, He's faithful to His word, but there may be a time in your life because you did not submit to His, He won't be able to help you. They'll call out and He'll say, well, you know, I tried to lead you on my frequency and on my path and I could have helped you out of it, but because you chose this way, I have to let you go your way. I have to let you die. I have to let you die out. You chose this. I didn't choose this for you. I chose the good way and you chose not to. Oh, God took him home. No, He didn't. Now He received him. He'd hurry up and get the guest room ready because He wasn't ready for him. They went well before their time. Came to pass as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. God is not socialism. God is not a stimulus check. God is not socialized medicine. Whatever other kind of program there is. Government housing. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, speaking to them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. One of the ladies that was the ringleader of the insurrection, the mutiny, her prayer was the restoration of God's church in Odessa. And the day, the very first beginning Sunday, Danny taught that Sunday on the resurrection. And the Lord said to this woman, today is the resurrection of your church, the one you've been praying for. And she's the one that led the mutiny. You know why? Whether I knew it or not, there was an apostle in place. There was an apostle in place. This is an apostolic message. This ministry is an apostolic ministry. It's not pastoral, even though you can be all five if the Lord says you are. You understand? The Lord was saying, your prayer is being answered today. He didn't just speak it to that woman there, but a couple that we had known. In fact, we brought them to the Lord. See, God answers the prayers, but if we do not submit to His word and we don't get our mindsets right, we, it's like Brother Hagin used to say, we wouldn't know the Holy Spirit if He came up with a red hat on. This is what He was proving these people. He was giving them His manna, see if they would obey Him or not, to see where they were. Well, you know, it was a pretty sad lot when only the ones under 20 and Joshua and Caleb and Moses, his family, only ones that went in or made it. I mean, Moses didn't get to go in. But Joshua and Caleb and those that their parents said, well, they'll never make it either. God sent them in. They were young enough to have their minds changed. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, is it manna? For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. Children of Israel did so, and gathered up some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over. He that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. So this was a spiritual thing, even though it was a natural thing. And Moses said, let no man leave it until the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them, and they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seed that will you will seed, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. They laid it up till the morning, and Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the Sabbath, seventh day, for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. Therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the Sabbath day, and the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. You know, today, people don't even honor it. Used to, we had what they called the blue law, where you didn't go, and if you went and you purchased something on Sunday, you had to sign a statement. You had to leave, you had to write your signature on a piece of paper. People used to honor whether Saturday's right or Sunday's right, you know. But still, they honored God. And nowadays, it's just, everything's just kind of like the way people dress at church. Flip-flops and suggestive tank tops and shorts with their butt cheeks hanging out. I mean, I'm telling you, it's just absolutely astounding. Church. Just from us being kids and the way it is today. Has Satan infiltrated the church? Yeah. All of them? No. There's some that's done it right. There's a remnant. There's a Gideon's army that follow the Lord fully. I am not changing you. I will not be the one to change you. I'm serving you manna. I'm bringing the manna. God is changing you with his manna. His manna is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. One more scripture, John 6. Verse 51. Let's see, 58. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They probably thought, he's a cannibal. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever.